consent.
Okay, where were we? We were discussing a motion to amend. Further discussion from the council on the motion to amend. Frank Blount.
Yeah, my overall comments on the motion to amend and the main motion, so I hope you'll indulge me for a minute. But one of my concerns is if we don't split, it comes down to the AMs. If the AMs, if we don't put the motion in right away, the AMs are going to get put off probably till 2014, which is a long way out. Whereas opposed if we put the amendment in now, I think, Laurie, that would be about 2014 before we'd have an AM in place if we don't split the amendment. And that's...
I know Laurie's slow.
Well, the current timeline for not splitting has us in 2012.
Right. But I mean, that's when the amendment would be in place, but if you don't put it in until the following fishing year, it'd be 2014 before your first AM took place, is my point. So, I mean, that's just one. And the other is, Pat's not here, but George can probably answer. With the action from the ASMSC going forward and requesting an emergency action, I'm assuming the emergency, to justify it, you're going to have to say the emergency is the state of the river herring, would be the stock condition. And if that's the case, once the service determines that it is an emergency, then they're free to take whatever action they want. Pat already knows the question because I asked her before. Pat knows the well, I hope she knows the answer, but she knows the question when I ask her. If they determine it's an emergency, then the answer coming back may not be monitoring. If they determine that the stock is in trouble, the agency is free to take whatever action they want to alleviate the emergency, if I have that correct. And Pat can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's how it would go. So I think we have to be careful here of what you wish for.
Anyone else? Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't vote on the question of the timeline because I completely oppose splitting the motion. And for the same reason, I'm going to oppose this motion. And hopefully we can get back to reality here. The river herring issue, I don't think we can rely on an emergency action or make any plans around the emergency action. It's not part of the argument. It's an obfuscation. Dr. Pierce, I think, is exactly right when he said that the ACLs and AMs in this fishery, I think the word he used was it was a cream puff. I have to agree with that. And the crux of the issue is the monitoring. And I think that issue is being avoided. And I don't think that we can say that if we split this issue, that Amendment 5 is automatically going to come in at the same time that the joint amendment would have come in before. I think that to think that is disingenuous. You're talking about two separate NEPA actions. So my attitude toward this is let's get back and make it work. I'm opposing splitting the motion. I don't think it's justified.
Further council comments on the motion to amend? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. This is on the motion to amend, Rodney. Let's vote again. On the motion to amend, raise your hand. Two. Opposed. Twelve. Back on the main motion. Anything further on the main motion? Anyone in the audience? Mr. Libby.
Gary Libby, I'm from Port Clyde. Thanks for the opportunity, Mr. Chairman. I'm opposed to this main motion. I was opposed to it at the committee meeting. I don't want to see it split because I want to see some sort of monitoring put in place with the ACLs and AMs. I'd like to see a full package, but if that can't be done, I'd like to see increased observers or something in there so that we have some sort of monitoring in with this Amendment 4, but going back to not splitting at all is what I would rather see and not and vote against this motion, just to have everything done all in the same time, in the same time frame. Thanks.
Anyone else? Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Council, Sean Guillen, on behalf of Lunds, Norpel, and Cape Seafoods, support the motion. I think as has been pointed out, the still puts us on the same time track for getting the broader-based issues on monitoring and enforcement done in time. Gives us a chance. I think the members of the committee understand how much work still needs to be done, and the industry is committed to working towards getting that package ready and getting that out there for consideration. The one issue, I'll only raise it, I don't think it's going to change anybody's mind, but there was a lengthy discussion yesterday about catch shares, which I guess is the new name for limited access privilege programs, which is the new name for IFQs, was an important way to go forward, something to consider. Let's do standards. Let's consider these things. But now you put up a motion which limits the, Amendment 4 to the issues that are currently in the, or in Amendment 5 to the issues that are currently in Amendment 4. We would oppose this. I mean, at least the idea, and Dana's swerving around because it was his motion, and that's exactly why he didn't want, it was the purpose of that limitation, so he wouldn't consider it now. Maybe it can't be done, but now, there's no opportunity for or incentive really for the industry to sit down and work and try and come up with, a proposal that might work, which, frankly, if you can have a limited access privilege program, it gives you and the industry a lot more monitoring tools and authorities, such as, foisting those costs onto the industry. So we support the motion except for that one limitation. And quick question, is River Herring going to come up again? Or do you dispose of that issue and the ASMC's request?
Well, we don't manage River Herring.
Okay.
It's now, because the amendment died, it's part of this motion. Will be dealt with in 5.
Thank you very much.
Tom?
Thank you. Tom Rudolph, Cape Cod Commercial Hook Fishermen's Association. I've heard a couple of folks say so far that this doesn't actually delay the implementation of the monitoring program, so I just want to make it clear that there's no hard end dates in the timelines, but I think that I just want to make sure everybody understands that if you vote this through today, I think you are delaying monitoring for at least 9 months, maybe a year, from what is in effect right now. And if I'm wrong on that, then I can be corrected. And I also have a question for Frank. If AMs aren't done in the current vehicle, why is it that those couldn't be ready until 2014, whereas if we delay monitoring today, we still have an expectation that that'll be done sometime in 2011 or 2012?
No, it wasn't that the AMs wouldn't be in place. If we delay on doing them today, we would have them in place. But what happens is because of the motion, the action we took earlier this morning, saying that you wait till the middle of the following fishing year and you put them in the following fishing year. It's 2 years, well, it's back to the following year, that before you would have an AM in place. The law would be there to have them, but to actually implement them probably wouldn't take place until 2014.
I got you. Okay, so, that clears it up. So if an AM was
triggered.
Potentially take, okay. Yeah. Well, I guess just to wrap up, the point that Sean Guillen brought up earlier is exactly the problem with this splitting this motion because a potential expansion of the work in Amendment 5 and a longer timeline for Amendment 5 could begin really pushing back the monitoring program that was the impetus for this vehicle. Therefore, I would encourage you to try to come up with a compromise that would pull out some really simple yet effective monitoring steps that could go forward in Amendment 4 if you do split it, like increased observer coverage, putting an end to dumping unsampled catch, and therefore I oppose the motion as it is, and I encourage you to try to come up with something else. Thanks for your time.
Jeff Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jeff Kalin from representing Lunds Fisheries, and I wanted to speak in support of the motion and also ask if the river herring bycatch issue might not be an appropriate issue for the Interspecies Committee to consider, particularly since the ASMSC letter to the Secretary indicated that there were concerns about river herring bycatch in small mesh fisheries other than the herring fishery. So we're curious really why the response would be that we would only focus on river herring bycatch in the herring fishery. I did attend the ASMSC meeting last month, and I took some pretty good notes, and like Pat said, the AP statement was that bycatch is a problem, a significant problem impacting coastwide populations, and endorsed all measures for bycatch reduction. This was Byron Young for the AP. And then he says, in amplification, it's not just offshore components that are where there's significant bycatch, but there are inshore fisheries where there's significant bycatch as well. And that was to Pat's point earlier about what are the states going to do. And in fact, the states really took no action on river herring at all. They passed the amendment. But there was a very long discussion about how there weren't enough resources for the state to identify sentinel rivers, for example, or commit themselves to any program that would reduce mortality or create more habitat or whatever it might be. Paul Diodati, on the issue of excessive bycatch, said that both Dr. Gary Nelson and Dr. Mike Armstrong had been investigating the relationship between increases in at-sea fisheries, particularly Atlantic herring, and the decline of river herring over time. And he said that we do not see the correlation. The decline in river herring occurred much earlier than increased activity in the herring fishery, particularly the use of midwater trawls. And he said that they did, however, see a strong biological correlation, the strongest measured in recent years between the increase in striped bass populations and decreases in river herring going back for the last 15 years. That's what Paul said at the meeting. So I thought that was curious. In fact, we were surprised when the emergency action was taken later because it didn't sound like that was the direction that ASMSC was going to go in. That was interesting. The ASMSC letter specifically talks about the Connecticut River fish lift. 500,000 blueback herring were passed in 1986. Only 84 last year. At the ASMSC meeting in Alexandria, Dave Simpson said that on one stretch of the Connecticut River, striped bass consumed 200,000 bluebacks in 1 month of May 2008. So that was interesting. Anyway, I wanted to support the motion. I wanted to be clear about what Paul Diodati said about no correlation between activity in the herring fishery and the use of midwater trawls and declines in river herring, at least in Massachusetts. Thank you.
Patrick.
Thank you. Patrick Paquette, Recreational Fishing Alliance, Mastroid Bass Association, and various other recreational fishing organizations. I'm going to ask you to really consider hard, and not that you haven't, but once again, the perspective of the recreational fishing community, and not only just the recreational fishing community, the general public who has enjoyed river herring, at least in New England. I realize that there are a few rare places where you can still harvest these fish, but we're in prohibition and have been for quite some time. We gave up 20% of the catch, and they haven't come back. Fact of the matter is the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission has taken unprecedented action and sent a letter requesting the Secretary of Commerce to take action. You can spin that and quote what happened at that meeting and give the dissenting opinion, but that letter has been sent. The request has been made. Another fact that hasn't come up today, which is one of the reasons I wanted to step up, is that the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries Management Council has also taken action. I have not read that letter yet, so I'm not going to quote it. I'm not going to pretend, but I do know the discussion. I did read detailed notes on the discussion, and they have sent a letter to the Secretary of Commerce. In addition, what you wouldn't know, because it didn't happen until this morning, but this morning the Secretary of Commerce received a letter signed by 101 organizations that included commercial fishing organizations, conservation organizations, hardcore environmental groups, and recreational fishing communities from organizations from here to North Carolina requesting the same. These fish are done. They're in trouble. We're in an over 90% decline over the last 20 years. We're in an over 80% decline over the last 10 years. I mean, folks, one of the reasons you can't split it for process-wise is that before you even took the vote today, the lapse issue just got brought back up. You made the decision as a council that it was not going to be in this amendment. Now you're going to put some stuff off into Amendment 5, and before you've even voted on the split, somebody was up here asking to add something else into it. And no matter what you pass today, with your significant discussion at the Herring Committee meeting, that no matter what you pass today, you can change your mind in the future. So we have no idea what's going to get loaded into, packed into, or watered down these other measures that are being allegedly put into a potential Amendment 5. You know, it is likely there's going to be all kind of pushes, and it's going to get delayed even more. And when you think about timeline, even though the actual timeline, I believe, is that this delays a year, I want you to think about it in terms of, once again, those river herring. That's 25% of a life cycle. How many more life cycles are we going to do? We have put, as a country, from local municipalities to the federal government to non-government organizations, hundreds of millions of dollars has gone into East Coast habitat in the last 10 years. Habitat has improved significantly in the last 10 years on these fish. The only major source of mortality that we are not addressing is right here. Please think about us who gave these fish up 5 years ago. Please think about people who can't eat them no more, who can't harvest them on their own. This does not need to be split. Action needs to be taken. River herring could be a stock, considered a stock in this fishery. As a matter of fact, there are those at NOAA who have made statements on the record who have said, yeah, it probably should be, that was why a stock in a fishery when sub-ACLs were built for things like this. You could set an ACL for river herring to at least stem the tide of the direction it's going. There are actions you can take. Please think about us who can't get at these fish anymore. Thank you.
I see your hand. Oh, Warren.
County Fishermen's Association. I just got here a few minutes ago, so I wasn't able to listen to your debate this morning, but it's very important that we have a program that will monitor the bycatch of river herring. I come from the town of Menemsha in Massachusetts. We've had a successful river herring run for hundreds of years. Our man in charge of the run, Buddy Vanderhoop, was not able to make it today, or he would be speaking. Something happened to our herring run, which has been extraordinarily productive over the past 100 years. It's been run by the Wampanoag tribe of Aquinnah. And you know, something happened that just changed that run entirely. And it wasn't habitat degradation. It wasn't any change in the water flow. And the watershed that this run comes from is owned by Jackie Onassis. It has an absolutely pristine watershed, no change, no degradation in water quality, no change in any part of the flow or of the tide that feeds this run. And within, you know, since the year 2000, we've had a dramatic, just an unbelievable change in that run. And We keep saying, you know, what happened? The run was closed 4 years ago. The state established a three-year moratorium, and now we've entered a second three-year moratorium. And if you talk to Buddy, you know, his catch just changed between 2002, 2003, 2004, and it's just a dramatic decline, so that you have to say something happened. And we need to try and find out what it is that happened. I just heard a speaker suggest that maybe it's the sudden increase in striped bass that made all these herring go away. Well, okay, I'll consider that as a possibility. But another possibility could be that there's a bycatch that we haven't explored and that we haven't checked out. And it is a need to find out what happened to our herring run and to all the other herring runs in Massachusetts. And if you have an opportunity to, through monitoring, check out whether the sea herring fishery is, you know, has a river herring bycatch, that's what we need to do. We need to check this out and not just dismiss it and put it off until sometime in the future, 2 years from now, 4 years from now. If we have an opportunity today to institute a program that will check out if the bycatch in the sea herring fishery is causing our herring runs to decline, then that's what we should do. So I'd urge you to vote against this motion.
Judd.
Judd Crawford, Pew Environment Group. I'll be brief. I urge you to not support this motion. I think it would be a very unfortunate outcome to split this. I won't go on and on. You've heard a lot of good justifications for that position from previous speakers, and also this morning from David Pierce, who articulated his view that maybe monitoring was more important than the issues you put up at the top of the list. Whether it's more important or not, it is essential that you have better monitoring in this fishery, and I think it would be a big mistake to split this off and delay it for who knows how long. Thank you.
Now it is. Glenn Robbins, fishing vessel Western Sea. I catch herring with a seine most of the time, and I've caught herring with a trawl, and I speak against this motion. River herring, I didn't learn very much about river herring until we started trawling down off New York and the island, down there in the middle. I can't even remember what it was, but we were told we better not go and land our fish in Rhode Island because the laws were a little bit stricter there. Better go to Massachusetts because the river herring, we could get them by easier. So that's what we did. So that tells me that maybe there is a problem down there. I wasn't on the boat catching them that much. My skipper was there, but he told me time and time again, we can't go to Rhode Island. We used to go to Rhode Island when we were seining down there, and I don't know if it was a problem or not, but we never heard anything about river herring until just the last few years when we were trawling. I think there's a problem in the fisheries, whether it's the river herring and our weather mixing with the other herring and the trawlers are catching them easier, whether there's some changes going on. I don't know, but I do know that it's always better to land in Massachusetts, so I was told. So I think there is a problem, yeah.
Gib.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gib Brogan with Oceana. I can't help but think about the comments that came from the SSC this morning about the relationship between ACLs and monitoring and the necessity for good information monitoring information, catch information, and how that's going to feed in to the reductions for scientific and management uncertainty. And it seems to me that taking the monitoring elements out of this amendment to be done at a future date is only setting this fishery up to have more catch, more available catch, locked up in those buffers. And that if possible, they should go hand in hand, and they should be developed at the same time. And that when we're looking at specifications and coming up with those ACL values, that a robust monitoring program should be the foundation for that those calculations. If we go through and do the math right now, it seems that a good portion of this fishery is going to be locked up in the uncertainty that's attached to the weak monitoring program that's out there right now. So I think that if, going back to what a couple of council members said, that as the straw man agenda is laid out, that the endpoints are the same, keep them tied together. ACLs and AMs and monitoring are attached to one another, and they depend on each other. And if you don't keep them attached to one another, we're going to be back here when the numbers come in. When the specifications come in based on a weak monitoring program, we're going to be back here looking at this and saying, why are all of our fish locked up? Why is this herring fishery? Why is the overall resource locked up in these buffers? And I think if we keep them tied together, we can do the math, increase the monitoring certainty, and have a lot more available catch out there. Thanks very much.
Anybody wishing to speak in favor of the motion? In favor. Anyone who hasn't spoke? Mr. Moore?
No, thank you. Peter Moore. I'm here representing Norpell in New Bedford. And I guess this whole conversation has me a little confused. Staff presented a new straw man which would split this amendment but still have the monitoring and accounting portion of this done on the same timeline as it is now. But it would allow, this is what I'm understanding from the discussion this morning, but it would allow the PDT to get the work done that's legally mandated. Terry Stockwell has asked for the council to direct the Herring Committee to continue work on a parallel track on these various options for monitoring that would get us to the same endpoint. I totally agree with what Gibb just said. I mean, we want to have monitoring, which is going to allow us to catch whatever we can on herring. But I don't quite understand the folks who are against this motion saying we need to ignore staff and maybe get there, but maybe be in violation of the federal government's mandate that we get ACLs and AMs in. And I speak in favor of the motion because I want to get to that end point for both of those. Thank you.
Paul Howard.
This is for Gene and Pat. This might be some type of a compromise that might allow us to move forward. Can we roll over 2010 specs and do 2011 and 12 in the amendment and submit in May? So in other words, we submit everything in May of 2010, but the 2010 specs are rolled over automatically. That, then we might be able to get everything done, ACLs, AMs, and the whole amendment in time for 2011. If we roll over 10. If we don't roll over 10, it's pretty difficult to do that.
So show me the mechanism for rolling over the specs and the regulations. I mean, we've had this conversation many times. There is no mechanism to roll over the specs and the regulations.
Anyone on the council? Dave Preble?
Thank you. If we can do this splitting and arrive at the same point at the same time, why split? What's the point? If it's all going to be at the same place at the same time, no reason to split. The arguments that I heard from the public weren't about the logistics of whether we should or shouldn't split. The arguments on both sides were arguments on the substance of the argument, of the central argument, what exactly should be done at the committee meeting. All the arguments I heard are arguments that should be before the committee, not arguments on whether we should split or not. I see no point whatever in splitting, and I can't possibly support it.
Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support this motion as written. I've heard all of the comments and share all of the concerns. To follow up on what David said, I think we've already been warned that probably we can't arrive at the same time. There's a lot of stuff that, and if we vote this amendment through, the Amendment 5 is going to take a lot of work. And to quote somebody earlier this morning, I think it is very, very important that we do this and do it right rather than do it in haste. And if this takes a little longer to get done, if we come out with a product that serves the resource and the fishery better, I think we need to take that course. So I support this motion as written. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, if nothing's changed my mind, I don't support the motion to split. However, I have to assume that this motion may pass, and therefore I would make a motion to amend. I would move that the amendment four be split. I would move that, you know, that amendment four be split to address the ACLAM provisions and the groundfish closed areas, comma. So, and the groundfish closed areas gets moved up so that it continues to be part of amendment number four, and then it would continue on as is. If that doesn't seem to be a big demand, I look at that particular part of the amendment. It's not dependent upon the catch monitoring program that we've been debating for so long. It's an important issue. I think that should be part of amendment number four.
Is there a second? Seconded by Sally. Discussion? Mary Beth?
I guess I would look to the staff on this particular issue. I agree with David that the groundfish closed area is an important issue, and the committee at this point has not really had much discussion around that, so we don't have alternatives at the moment. Lori has indicated the PDT is not going to be available to do any analysis until likely November, and there's the issue of whether or not it would trigger an EIS versus an EA. So I guess that would be my question, and I know you answered this question earlier, but just to reiterate what the implications are of trying to move Amendment 4 with an additional measure in there, and if you have to do an EIS.
Yeah, I really can't answer the question about an EIS versus an EA once other elements get added to the amendment that aren't just related to this process changes that we need to make. Any measures that are going to affect the fishery or the stock or the catch or anything like that are going to have to be evaluated prior to making a determination if there's a significant impact that would require an EIS. The work on the groundfish closed area access issue is sort of policy related, you know, and may not have significant impacts on the industry, although hard to say. I think we'd have to do an evaluation of how much catch comes out of the closed areas right now, and things like that. We're not going to have time to do that work before the end of this year. With just the ACLAM provisions in Amendment 4, we would be wrapping up Amendment 4 at the November Council meeting. Anything that gets added to Amendment 4 is going to cause us to not be able to wrap it up at the November Council meeting. That doesn't mean that we can't meet our deadline on ACLs and AMs. We need to submit by May 2010 to meet the ACLAM deadline. So if things are added and we still split, we just need to get Amendment 4 done and submitted by May 2010. But that will delay work on Amendment 5 because once we finish the specs, we need to work on the other elements that have been added to Amendment 4 before we get to Amendment 5. So just like the previous motion on the river herring, this motion reprioritizes the work on the groundfish closed area access ahead of the work on the catch monitoring program. I don't see – I could not foresee a problem getting this done and submitted prior to May 2010. I think it would probably take one committee meeting and a PDT meeting to wrap up the alternatives. But that the PDT work, the analysis of the closed area catch and things like that is going to be close to impossible to get to until we're done with the specifications package.
Just to follow up on that then, if there were a way, and I know this is very difficult to do, to have any measures associated with this not be significant and not trigger an EIS, I mean, if the time frame of getting work done in an EA versus an EIS is quite significant. If we minimized it to the EA, you know, not significant impact, then we could do it fairly quickly. Is that correct?
We could do it more quickly. The work on the closed area issue, I mean, the same level of analysis is required to at least get to the point to make the determination of whether or not there are significant impacts. And then the difference between the EA and the EIS is really like review and comment periods and things like that. I mean, we still have to go through the analysis and say, okay, we find no significant impact, or there is a significant impact and this is what it is. So from the analytical perspective, there's not really too much difference. It's more of a timing with public comment periods that are required for an EIS, review process. It's much more extended for an EIS. With the specifications, we just won't be able to get to that level of analysis until we finish the specifications. I think certainly the committee and the council could select measures to address the groundfish closed area issue that appear to be pretty insignificant from an impact perspective. But to actually get that evaluation done, we need to do specs first.
So I guess just in final follow-up to that, I think that while I support the intent of David's motion, I don't think I would support including it. I think that if we were to do this, it would be difficult to do at a level in an EA and not require the EIS, and it would put off Amendment 5. And I just don't think we should go in that direction. And just having listened to some of the comments that we've had, I mean, certainly the committee considered all of these issues at the committee meeting. And one thing that came up often in the comments made by the public is the need to increase monitoring in this fishery. And I think we have done that this year. This council has made a recommendation to bring the observer coverage level in the herring fishery up to the SBRM level. The initial recommendation from the service was, from the Science Center, was for 100 and some odd days. I can't remember the number. And this council made a recommendation to increase that, so it's now increased to 435, I think it's the number. That might not be exactly correct. But we are increasing monitoring. We're doing it now. And there's nothing that prevents that from occurring in the short term as we move through this process. And I do think that Dana is correct. We need to do this. We need to do it right. And the committee members had the full discussion, and we know we have a lot of work ahead of us, and therefore that's why the motion passed.
Hans? Doug?
As you've heard me state before, I've struggled with this motion to split because I truly believe we need to have that catch monitoring tied to the ACL. But the thing that turned my vote to splitting was the fact that staff has said that according to these timelines, we would not get the ACLs and AMs in place before the statutory requirement. And I keep hearing the argument that we all end up at the exact same place at the same time, whether we split or not. But it ends up with something that's different. The ACLs and AMs are not in place on time on one option, and they are in place in another option. And so I asked some of the people that are opposing this, do you not see a problem with not meeting that statutory requirement? Is that okay with you? Do you not believe the staff's timelines here that it actually could get in place?
Mark Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I sit in much the same position as Doug, and it may be even more personal for me because I cut my teeth on, in some regards, on restoration of river herring and drove around in trucks and stocked them from one run to another, read tens of thousands of scales, aged them. So it's I have a long history, and Rhode Island has a long investment in anadromous fish. But my vote has been turned, to support this motion as well. But it's more on a local basis that in the past 2 years I have actually seen increases in Rhode Island's river herring runs. They reached a low point in 2006, and they were pretty much in free fall. But they have stabilized, and in 2007, 2008, we actually saw some modest increases. So it looks to me as though the free fall that everyone's so aligned by, at least on a local basis, has been stabilized, and we have a little bit more time than I maybe thought a year or so ago when we first started talking about this concern. So that's the tipping point for me. It's a very marginal one, but it's enough to make me support this motion. Thank you.
David?
Yeah, I'm going to oppose this motion for the same reason I opposed the last one. This whole issue of EAs versus EISs and monitoring programs is not of our making. It's not of this council's making. To me, it's highly ironic that a number of the speakers here recently have come up and said, well, you got to do this and you got to do that, and yet, a lot of the reasons that we can't do what they want done is because we've been saddled with such a cumbersome process by the law. We have to do an EIS. We can't do EAs anymore. We have to do the full NEPA process. We can't do an abbreviated NEPA process. We have to do the ACLs and AMs. They're required by the law. Congress mandated it. People lobbied Congress to have all this stuff put in the Magnuson Act. And now we're being excoriated because we're following the law. So it's kind of like, be careful what you wish for. The buzzard has come home to roost. And he's sitting here squarely over this meeting today. And we can't do what we all agree we want to do and what needs to be done, because the law has become so cumbersome and so tedious that in order to meet it, it takes a year and a half to 2 years just to compile all the paper. It takes a long time to kill all those trees, cut them down, and process them into paper. So I'm going to oppose this motion. I'm going to oppose all the motions to do anything but split the question and get on with it. And then I would strongly urge that we get this Amendment 4 done, we get the specs done, because those we have to do. And in the meantime, that the staff work on Amendment 5 as fast as they can. And to the people in the audience, quite frankly, I would urge you all to roll up your sleeves and get to work on coming up with a realistic monitoring program that everybody can agree on. Because right now we have two sides that don't agree on the time of day, never mind on how to monitor the fishery. And as long as nobody agrees on anything, it's going to make this process just that much longer and just that much more cumbersome, and it's going to take that much longer to get to where everybody agrees they need to go. Thank you.
Roddy?
I'm all set. David just stole my thunder.
Boom, boom. Anything further before I call the question? Ready? Yeah, on the motion to amend. All those in favor of the motion to amend, raise your hand. 4. Opposed? Eleven opposed. Abstentions? 1 abstention. 2 abstentions. Motion to amend fails. 4-11. 2. On the main motion. Anything further? Anything on anyone's chest they haven't gotten off it? Okay. You ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. 14. Opposed? 3. Motion carries 14-3. Frank?
It's up to the council now. I mean, Lori can go through additional discussions of catch monitoring alternatives. No.
No, I don't see any point in doing that.
I'm done.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, as a... to continue the discussion somewhat, regarding river herring, it seems to me that we do have an opportunity to take action to support ASMFC, ASMFC's request relative to River Herring and shad for that matter, and not specific to sea herring, but to smallmouth fisheries, because that's really what the emphasis is, smallmouth fisheries, implementing bycatch monitoring measures for smallmouth fisheries, data collection, additional information regarding an assessment of the severity of the situation. Paul Diodati did make a number of comments at the last Shad and River Herring Board meeting regarding some points that were made by a member of the audience, but he has for the longest of times made it very clear that the question of bycatch of river herring and smallmouth fisheries is still unanswered, and the suspicion that we have is that bycatch is significant and needs to be better assessed so we can react to it. In light of a point that Gene Martin made a little earlier on regarding a section of the Magnuson Act that perhaps could be referred to, Section 402A1, I would move, and Karen has the motion, I would move recognizing the ASMFC request that the Secretary of Commerce support ASMFC efforts to improve management of anadromous fishes, pursuant to Section 402A1 for the Magnuson-Stevens Act, the Council requests the Secretary of Commerce provide additional resources for acquiring improved information about shad and river herring bycatch and small mesh fisheries through bycatch monitoring. So this provides a means by which this Council could support ASMFC's effort.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dave Preble. Discussion. Dave Gaith.
Just a question for David Pierce. Is this intended to be throughout the range? I mean, do we want to say that? From what I understand, a lot of the lack of observer data is coming from the Mid-Atlantic area, and we don't really have control over that area. So since we're kind of basically sending a letter, do we want to request the Secretary of Commerce to support efforts throughout the range of shad and river herring?
That was inferred, but clearly we can make it clear to say throughout the range of shad and river herring. And it's valid to make that point because I always reflect back on what happened during the 1970s and during the 1960s when we had the foreign fleets off of our coast, and the federal government actually had foreign fishing windows up and down the coast going down to the Mid-Atlantic area with specific bycatch allocations of shad and river herring in those windows, and there were specific allocations by foreign vessel. So mackerel as well as herring, small mesh fisheries, whiting fisheries inshore, it all needs to be looked at, and this is a fair request to make of the Secretary, again, related to information gathering, and I believe it's quite consistent with the language of the Magnuson Act of Section 402A1. So it's inferred. I could insert it somewhere.
I think we just got inserted.
Okay, thank you. Right.
Anything further? Mary Beth?
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. Did the Mid-Atlantic send a letter similar to this? I mean, there was some reference earlier to a letter from the Mid.
I spoke with the chairman of the Mid-Atlantic Council last week, towards the end of the week, and he had indicated they had had a discussion and were going to send a letter, but I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen the letter. Anything further from the council? All right, I'm going to turn to general counsel. What's this process? I'm reading it here in Magnuson, and it's not clear to me. We send this letter, and let's say the secretary agrees to undertake what's termed an information collection program. It says here the secretary shall promulgate regulations to implement the program within 60 days after such determination is made. So that means there's no timeline on deciding. But if a decision's made that's in the affirmative, then he has 60 days to begin a rulemaking process.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we. That would be my preferred interpretation. Yes, but I think that is one way to. We'll have to decide how we interpret that.
Who's going to decide?
NIMS is going to decide.
You're going to decide?
No, NIMS.
It was your idea, right?
This isn't my idea. I'm just pointing out what's in the law, John.
Okay. Okay. So this is just sort of a Hail Mary like the letter from the ASMSC was, right? I'm just trying to understand.
But
just, I mean,
I wouldn't call it Hail Mary.
It's providing extra grounds for doing it other than you have to find an emergency.
And I'm just trying to understand what to expect. The council, will the council be requested to provide additional information that it may have come across in the development of Amendment 4? I mean, is there a further role besides sending this letter, or does the secretary consult with parties that the secretary wants to consult with and come up with a plan?
Well, any of that is possible. You know, we did do this for slime eels. We implemented an independent information collection program for that fishery, requiring vessels to take observers if requested, so forth.
And if implemented, how long does it go on in perpetuity, or is it?
I don't see any restrictions on it. I mean, that can be decided by the agency as to whether it should be open-ended or if it should be capped in terms of the length of the program. I think anything is possible.
Paul Howard.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it seems to me if this is referencing the 402.A, which is general about data gathering, seems to me that we've already demonstrated that we want to do a monitoring program. So why would we be specific and say we want a monitoring program and ask the secretary for additional support just for river herring? Wouldn't we want to say we've embarked on a monitoring program, we need additional resources to get it done quickly, to get the data and to do all that? I don't understand why we're having difficulty putting forward a monitoring program for what we want to do. And so we're going to say to the secretary, we're okay with what we're doing, but we want some additional resources under 402 for river herring, not for everything else we need it for. Can we make it? To me, this should be all-encompassing for what we're doing now with the amendment. Or we support the emergency action and ask for something that we haven't been able to come up with in our amendment.
Did we already ask for emergency action we asked the service to condition the LOAs, and they're going to go through a proposed and final rulemaking process for closed area access in this fishery. That wasn't an emergency action request. Sally? Anyone else? Yeah, I guess I'd ask the same question. Why limit it to looking at shad and river herring? I know that the ASMFC wrote what they wrote, but we have additional or other concerns as well that we're working on.
Well, this is for someone to 402, not to the emergency action.
Dr. Pierce.
Yep, I understand that point. However, in light of the action that we just took, splitting the amendment, not dealing with river herring, in light of what ASMFC has done, in light of the possibility that the National Marine Fisheries Service might not be able to take emergency action because they may not conclude that it is an emergency, to me, this is a possible way for the service to move in a direction that ASMFC hopes the service will go. Once again, for support of the shad and river herring board's position. In addition, because the council has now somewhat upset the apple cart for shad and river herring, that is another amendment, Amendment 5, it muddles the request made by ASMFC, because that request was emergency action with regard to implementing the bycatch monitoring measures recently under discussion by the council. Lorana, it's part of Amendment 5, so I think it's muddled the situation. Therefore, this motion will be will assist ASMFC accomplish what it's trying to do.
I guess I understand that. I want to be helpful to the ASMFC, but I think if we're going to ask for an information collection system or program, we should help ourselves out too. And if we're going to make this lift or this request, I don't think we should limit it to just shad and river herring. We should include shad and river herring in our request, but go beyond that. Paul Howard.
Dave, just to that point, I look at it as not trying to help ASMSC with river herring. I look at it, that's our job, to reduce bycatch under National Standard 9. So it's our job to do this, not just support ASMFC.
Go ahead, David.
I understand that, but again, the council just undercut ASMFC's attempt to get emergency action relative to river herring and sea herring. Therefore, it seems that this action would be, well, it's going to be an amendment. The whole strategy for bycatch monitoring for herring that was going to be considered for application in small mesh fisheries, I assume, is now going to be part of Amendment Number 5. You know, there are no details. The timeline is kind of uncertain. We have a suggestion from staff that I'm sure she's going to keep to, but the committee may not necessarily keep to that timeline. So I've said enough.
All right. I'm trying to understand how we undercut an emergency action that preempted our decision to split a timeline.
The undercutting is the timeline. Okay, ASMFC has considered this to be an emergency action, a needed emergency action. Okay, the timeline now may be that the bycatch monitoring provisions relative to sea herring that could be applied to small mesh fisheries may not be in place until when? 2012, 2013, 2014, I don't know when, because this is all so uncertain. A tremendous amount of work needs to be done still on catch monitoring provisions as described by Lori and as understood by the council, and that's reflected in the decision to split the motion.
Doug Grapp.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, to your point, which I think is a valid one, I read that motion differently than you do, and maybe I'm misreading it, but what it talks about is improve info throughout the range of shad and river herring, not just on shad and river herring, which to me encompasses improving info on these small mesh fisheries from Maine to Florida. And we're not directing them to improve information just on river herring bycatch, but I would assume that if you had some kind of a sea sampling or program or some program to improve that, you would be getting information on all species in the bycatch. So that's the way I read this, is something that's broader than what I heard.
Hands? Dave Gatel.
To me, this gets you much more. This is a much better way to go. The accusations are flying back and forth throughout the room today. Whiting's responsible, mackerel's responsible, herring's responsible, squid, mackerel, and butterfish are responsible. The boogeyman's responsible. This gets you monitoring of all small mesh fisheries. And, we have to ask. There has to be a special reason to ask. The special reason in this case is shad and river herring. It potentially occurs across a whole host of fisheries. And in order to get the information on shad and river herring, you have to get the information on everything else as well. So you get through the back door what we can't seem to get through the front, which is a monitoring program. And it's a monitoring program not just in the herring fishery, which is what we've been talking about up until the last 10 minutes. Now it's a monitoring program in a whole host of fisheries. Fisheries that we don't even control. Fisheries that are managed by the Mid-Atlantic. Fisheries that may be managed by the South Atlantic. This is a whole lot better than anything we've been doing today. And it may get us to where we want to be a whole lot quicker than we're ever going to get there on our own and get us a better product. So I see this as a marked improvement. I think we should wholeheartedly support this and see where it goes. You know, maybe it is a Hail Mary, but once in a while somebody actually catches one.
Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a good motion that I can support, and I concur with Doug's interpretation of the language. But a clarification is that the commission's letter was specific to River Herring. It did not include shad. So I don't know if that makes a difference to the maker of the motion.
Paul?
Ask Dr. Pierce, does, when you say that the council requests the secretary provide additional resources, what do you mean by resources and who receives those? So my point was that I would like under 402 to have additional resources. I wasn't aware of 402, if it means I could get additional funding to get this amendment going to improve monitoring. If that's the case, shame on me for not finding this out sooner. So my concern is we're asking for resources that the council should be doing, not supporting AFC asking for resources. We ought to be doing this.
Jane?
Yeah, just to clarify, this section doesn't say anything about resources or even who pays for it. Theoretically, we could establish a regulation that requires all small mesh fisheries to pay for these observers if they want to fish in a certain area. This isn't about resources. Well, if that's part of the information collection, I'm not sure how else you're going to monitor bycatch of river herring if you don't have observers, but maybe there is a way. But I'm assuming that would be part of an information collection program that the council may want, if it can be done without observers. But this doesn't necessarily authorize additional resources or authorize councils to ask for additional resources. I mean, in that sense, the motion would have to be read in the context of the law here. At least that's how we would read it in the agency.
Anyone else? Dana?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would support this motion because I think it isn't perfect, but it supports the request from the ASMFC, and I think it supports the motions we've already passed. Whether it's fruitful or not, I don't know, and I take Paul's point. I think maybe I would ask that the maker of the motion consider a friendly to that or a little wordsmith into that, but I certainly would support this. I can't see why this would do any harm at all and quite possibly might do us some real good in the long run. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a structural thing on the wording. The phrase, I lost it. There it is. The phrase pursuant to section 402A1 for the Magnuson-Stevens Act, okay, if that modifies the first part of the sentence before the comma, then it should be where it is. But if the council is requesting it pursuant to section 402A, it should be after the word requests. It's not clear there in the way it's worded what that refers to. And since it's citing a legal document, I think it should be clear what it refers to. Is the request being made pursuant to section 402A? Is that what you're trying to say? Yeah, then it should be after request. It should be request, comma, pursuant to section 402A1 for the... There you go. Yeah, that makes it clear. If it's even necessary to put that phrase in, I'm not sure that it is.
I'm going to take a 10-minute break. DePierre says... some perfections to his motion.
Yeah, after consulting with Gene and also with Laurie to try to make the language as consistent as possible with that part of the Magnuson Act, suggesting just a slight change, and that change occurs about midway through. After Secretary of Commerce, it now reads, undertake an additional information collection program, and then goes on from there. It doesn't reference provide more resources. So it's more specific. It's more consistent with, it is consistent with the language in the Act, that section.
I forget who the seconder was. I don't see it. the language is now more consistent with the Act. Okay. Comments? Sally?
Thanks for the break. It kind of gave a minute for this to all settle in. So the intent then is to collect information across a number of fisheries, a variety of fleets, not just the Atlantic herring fleet. Is that correct? So this is beyond, you know, what the, you know, we're talking about on our agenda item today, the herring fishery. This is small mesh.
And Bob, you've had your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before the break, there was a discussion on resources and where those resources would go. The ASMSC letter does specifically request resources for collaboration between the councils, plural, and ASMSC, as well as seeking financial resources to support technical work. But, you know, by no means is that a money grab by ASMSC. That money goes to the councils, and they are able to, you know, kind of get a handle on the magnitude, the timing, location of bycatch in the ocean and small mesh fisheries. That's obviously fine with ASMSC. We're just looking to get an answer to these questions. It's not a money grab or anything along those lines. It's just, you know, how do we get a handle on this? And we have specifically, you know, asked for some resources to help the councils or the commission get to these answers.
Anything further? Paul Howard.
As the council, is the only reason we want to improve data collection is the only reason to improved info throughout the range of shad and river herring bycatch? Is that the only reason we want to do it throughout that range?
Doug.
I guess, again, I interpret this a little bit different. I read this a little bit differently, that we want to improve the data collections in the small mesh fisheries, and all we're using shad and river herring for is to give an extent, a range, what area do we want to have this occur in. I think it's bycatch collection in the small mesh fishery, and because we're prefacing this by ASMSC, we sort of say the range of shad and river herring, which is Maine to Florida.
Jim Island?
You're all set.
Anyone else? I assume the improved info that's referenced in the motion is improved catch information. That's what's intended. Okay. Anything further? Lori?
Just a wording issue. The word bycatch in the last part of the motion seems a little bit misplaced. I mean, is it throughout the range of shad and river herring and small mesh fisheries through bycatch monitoring? I'm not sure if the word bycatch needs to be in there.
Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It does need to be in there, but Laurie's quite right. It's in the wrong place. It should be to acquire improved bycatch information. I think that's what we're trying to say here. Is that right?
Anything further? So if we vote on this, we'll vote it up, we'll write a letter. Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief, and I want to remind you, I held my fire on river herring before. I support this, but the point I wanted to make before one has been made, that we'll have a lot more information through increase in observer days, which is all to the good. This is all to the good. One of the important aspects of the current monitoring program, which is currently herring specific, is the port side sampling program that's funded through the ACCSP. You know, that gives great information on all smallmouth fisheries in terms of catch that's mixed and particularly caught in high volumes. I'm not suggesting you highlight it specifically in here, but I do kind of suggest that for the, you know, the commission has come to the secretary and asked for action, but, you know, that's a program within their purview, and I think it's appropriate within this motion, or at least to convey the sense that as part of an information collection program, we'd like to see portside monitoring be an aspect of that and encourage, you know, show the council's support for that program and you know, ask the ASMFC to support continued funding, because right now that program is currently in jeopardy. So I think that would be appropriate. I don't know how you'd want to handle it, but I do throw that out there because I don't think that program should go away.
Back to the council. Everybody's clear on the language? Mary Beth?
Yeah, just a question to the maker of the motion. In consideration of those comments, would you want to consider putting at the end of the motion to bycatch monitoring by state and federal agencies? You might prefer to leave it.
Okay, so we vote this up. We'll write a letter, review it, and pen it, and ship it off, and see what the response is. Hopefully it's positive. Okay, all those in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed. Abstentions. Two abstentions. Motion carries 15-0, two abstentions. Frank?
I'm all set, but I think there's a couple other people that have issues.
Sally?
Yes, thank you. Given that the motion to split the amendment carried, I have a motion related to the business of the committee over the course of the next few months, and it's up on the board. It's related to a discussion that has kind of bounced around throughout the herring discussion. I would move to direct the herring committee to continue to develop at least three comprehensive monitoring alternatives by the September council meeting. Each alternative will include measures for at-sea and dockside monitoring, as well as options describing costs and funding for monitoring. The committee will also complete development of alternatives that can be incorporated into any catch monitoring alternative, which is section 3.3 of the document. To accomplish this, the committee will meet at least three times in order to dedicate sufficient time to each of the catch monitoring alternatives.
Seconded by Terry Stockwell. Discussion. Sally.
So if the council is going to commit to and be prepared to develop a comprehensive catch monitoring system, we need to take advantage of the time this summer. PDT is going to be otherwise working on the specs package and this is a way to keep us moving forward on Amendment 5. It's the only way we can do it to keep the committee on track, developing the alternatives that we've really struggled to do over the last several meetings. We've spent most of our time looking at one of the catch monitoring alternatives. The other two, we've not dedicated any time to it. We need to pay attention to the other alternatives rather than just continuing to critique one. This gives the committee some clear direction from the council to keep developing the monitoring alternatives, and the September council meeting, date certain, gives us a deadline to complete the work.
Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This motion speaks directly to the concerns I raised this morning. Sally clearly articulated on much of the rationale. We need some focused committee time to to tackle these marring issues. Dave Gaethel very clearly laid out some of the problems we're having, and it's incumbent for us all to get together, thrash through them, and come up with something that's going to work.
Jim Abba.
Yeah, I don't, as a committee member, I don't mind meeting the next three times by then, but I think the rationale for splitting the amendment was that the staff is tied up doing other things. So are we going to have a meeting without staff and without any input from the PDT? Or do we have staff that can handle three more meetings?
Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you. I very strongly recommend that we go along with this. ACLs and AMs are incomplete without monitoring. Monitoring is as much a part of it. It's like two Siamese, like Siamese twins. They're part of one another. This needs to proceed along this pathway and under this time constraint. And I think that we need to make sure that staff is available for this. Thank you.
Terry.
Yeah, I'm very aware of the staff issues and the fact that we're not going to have the PDT through the probably well through the fall as they work on the spec process. I'm sure Lori's going to chime in here, but I think that the committee itself can meet and begin to wrestle through these issues that we've danced around so well for the last several meetings.
Sally.
The reason I put this up here is because some of the discussion at the last committee meeting was around a number of policy decisions that the committee needed to be making that the PDT was simply unable to develop alternatives absent any kind of input from the committee. So while it certainly takes time for staff to prepare for a meeting, the work of the meeting is largely almost entirely work that the committee must do and that the PDT cannot do until the committee makes decisions on all the various elements of the monitoring alternatives. So it's not a zero impact on staff, but the understanding that I had leaving the committee meeting was that it's been almost impossible for the PDT to develop any kind of, putting any more meat on the bones without the input and the policy decisions that the committee needs to make. So that's the intent, that these meetings would be designed for the committee to do the work that it has to do before the PDT can do anything else on these.
Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Although I think it should be very rare that a committee meet without its PDT chair, should be on very rare occasions. There may be a way that if it's strictly, doing committee work that they haven't done, that I might be able to get a a temporary employee to come and just make sure the tape recorder's going and work under Laurie to do certain things, with the agendas and things like that. But it can be done, but you're not going to get the same level of summaries and everything else that you would if a PDT chair was there, if our staff was there, having someone, a part-time employee or something do that.
Lori?
I do agree with what Sally summarized in her comments, and we did talk about this at the committee meeting, that a lot of the decisions that need to be made regarding the catch monitoring alternatives are largely decisions that need to be made by the committee, and that there isn't all that much analytical work that needs to be done in the short term before the committee does its work. This motion goes a little bit above and beyond that. This motion essentially says that by the next council meeting, we're going to have three comprehensive catch monitoring alternatives with an analysis of costs and options for funding I mean, this essentially completes the work that needs to be done on the catch monitoring program. And, I mean, if we could get it done by September, we wouldn't have needed to split the amendment. I'm a little concerned. I mean, the cost part of this is, unless the committee members are going to do cost analysis, I'm not sure where that's going to come from. And, I mean, obviously some of the larger issues could certainly be worked on by the committee. It would be very strange for me to, like, stay in the office and work while somebody else went and staffed a hearing committee meeting. So I would probably want to attend the meetings to keep up with the work going on the amendment. And as you know, we've got SSC meetings and PDT meetings and everything else between now and September. Don't forget that the committee also needs to meet on the specifications between now and September. So just during the months of July and August, we're up to potentially 4 committee meetings. That barely leaves enough time to get a summary done in between them, let alone anything else. And what I had told the committee is we can work on these alternatives while we do the specs, but don't expect any new information or analysis to come forward for those committee meetings. I don't see a problem with that at all, but I'm just concerned that maybe this motion is a little bit is asking for a little bit more than just for the committee to continue its work during the specifications process. There's a lot in this motion that I'm just concerned about, including the number of meetings and the level of detail that would be expected to come back to the council in September.
Frank.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a problem running the meetings, but I don't have the expertise that Laurie has. I can tell you that. And like Laurie said, just coming up with 4 meetings, if we need 23 days notice to put a meeting out, coming up in time to have 4 meetings between now and then, I don't see how we'd have to schedule them almost now. So, I mean, I think we can move ahead, but, I mean, this is going to be very tough to meet. Very, very tough.
Frank's concern was the same as mine, the 23-day notice requirement. Unless, you know, for one thing, I don't think, unless by cost analysis you mean somebody's going to throw a ballpark number out there and that's going to be your cost analysis. I mean, there is not going to be no analysis. There will be, you take the word analysis out and say cost, period. You know, it's going to cost $10 million. It's going to cost $5 million. It's going to cost 50 cents. That's going to be your cost. What I would suggest to the maker of the motion is, first of all, consider moving it to the November. Is it November? We have a council meeting. Prior to the November council meeting, and take out the word analysis out of cost. And then I probably might be able to support it. But I don't think, given the number of people that would be involved in this that are on vacation in July and August, and the work that all the people have to do already, I think it's unrealistic to expect this stuff by September. So that's up to the maker and the seconder of the motion whether they want to do that or not. Sally?
I don't think the motion says analysis. I included the costs and funding because the committee, in my recollection, hasn't even talked about that yet. So it wasn't the intent that the committee would somehow miraculously come up with the analysis, unless I'm not seeing it in the motion. I don't think that wasn't the intent to include that. You know, bumping it back 2 months keeps this moving, then that's fine. November council meeting.
You're going to move that to November? Who was the seconder? Seconder agrees. Okay. Dave Gaethel.
Okay, just for follow-up then, thank you. So what you're describing costs and funding, this would be a qualitative description then that it will, you know, cost in the range of in some kind of range, and that the funding will be provided by whoever or possible funding sources, which could be numerous. So it will be qualitative, not quantitative. All right. Does that – I don't want to be in the middle of a three-way discussion here, but through you, Mr. Chair, does that get us
Will the staff be able to use that information then to develop the cost and funding analysis that it will have to do sometime in the future? So I ask that question of, I guess, Lori, through you.
Yes. Anyone else? Doug?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I support this motion. I think, and I also think within the committee we have the momentum and impetus to get this thing done according to the motion. So I support it.
Anyone else? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Fifteen. Opposed. One. Abstentions. One. Motion carries 15-1. One abstention. Anything else? Jimmy.
Yeah, at the last council meeting, this is in reference to the modifying the LOA for herring vessels in closed area one. We made a request to the service to make that modification, and Pat presented to us yesterday in her report that it would require proposed rulemaking, final rulemaking, because of the requirement to pump all fish across the boats. And my concern is that we're going to miss the season for the monitoring portion of that LOA modification. And the question I have is, if we modify our request to include just 100% observer coverage in closed area one, would that not trigger the proposed rulemaking, and wouldn't we be better off to modify our request so that you could not have to do the long-term thing and get this done in a matter of weeks, not months?
I'm trying to see whether Amy is still in the audience. The intention, and we talked about this when the council made this recommendation, was to, in fact, increase observer coverage. So I know the plans are for the observer program to provide additional coverage in that area. One of the problems is what we don't have is a way of actually knowing they're going into that area until we make some changes requiring them to tell us to. But unless I've misstated it, yeah, the intention is to provide some additional coverage.
Yeah. Anything else? Lori, you all set for now? You're all set, Frank? Okay. So we're done with herring. Or not. Sally?
Just one more thing. It was a motion that was considered at the committee. It's on page 20 of the meeting summary. It's very simple, and I want to make sure that the council is aware of it because it's relevant given that we're just focusing on ACLs and AMs in Amendment 4. The motion carried 7-0, and it's just to direct the PDT to develop assumed discard rates to be applied to all trips in the calculation of ACLs. So I just wanted to highlight that is a motion that was made at committee after the motion to split carried at committee, because the importance of having an assumed discard rate is all the more important if you don't have a catch monitoring system in place. So I just wanted to highlight that for people so that they understood that was a direction that was given back to the PDT by the committee as a result, in part, of the assumed lack of a comprehensive monitoring system being developed in Amendment 4.
Are there any comments on that?
Yeah.
The chair is just checking to see if we take something from Thursday out of order.
All right. So, I'll cut.
Yep. Just so everybody knows, the PDT is directed to do that, and that's.
Okay, here's the deal. We've completed our hearing work for today. There was a 6 p.m. and a 6 p.m. agenda item, which is scoping on the requirement to use TEDS and trawl gear. But there's also a scoping hearing tonight at 7 o'clock, I believe, in this room. Yeah, I believe it's in this room. So here's what I'm proposing. The council members that want to go through that can come to the scoping meeting tonight at 7 o'clock, and we won't have a presentation to the full council. And with the balance of today's time, I've asked Dave Gaethel if he can present research steering, which is slated for Thursday. That would leave just Monkfish in the open period for public comments on Thursday. And if we bleed over and groundfish tomorrow, we'll have extra time on Thursday. So if there's no objection, I'm going to ask Dave to present the RSC report. Seeing none, Dave. 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 Seeing none,